Good morning. Thank you very much, everyone, again, for coming out. I know the title that I put on the shiur was only vague because I did not decide what I wanted to talk about until a couple of days ago. So that's why I went with the vague title of Insights to the Yom Noraim. But now I have a topic, and the topic's on the title of the page. Let's begin. We are all aware of a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tazayin. It is the single most thought about Gemara, whether you know or not it's a Gemara, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. And that is the Gemara tells us over there. Amar Rav Krisvadai, Amar Rav Yochanan. Krisvadai says the name of Rav Yochanan, Shloshes Svarim Miftachim Rosh Hashanah. There are three books that are opened on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shal Rishayim, one belonging to Rishayim, Gemurin, people who are totally evil, V'yachad Shal Tzadikim, and the other belonging to people who are Tzadikim, Gemurin, totally righteous, V'yachad Shal Beinanim, and the other belonging to those who are in the middle. What happens with these three books on Rosh Hashanah? Tzadikim Gemurin Nechtavim Menechtem in La'alto L'chaim. As we say, as we greet each other on Rosh Hashanah night, right? We say that Tzadikim Gemurim should be inscribed immediately into the book of life. Rishayim Gemurin Nechtavim Menechtem in La'alto L'misa. They are inscribed, Rachman al-Tzlan, immediately into the book of death. Beinonim, what's with us in the middle? Tuluyin Va'omdim Rosh Hashanah Ga'yom Kippurim. They stand in the middle, unclear whether the book of life or whether the book of death until Yom Kippur. If they are zocha during Aseres Me'etshuva, nichtabin l'chaim, they are written in the book of life for that year. Lo zochu nichtabin l'misa, and if they are not merited, then they are written in the book of death. This is the very famous Gemara. Now, anyone thinking should understand that this Gemara raises a lot of hashkafic issues and a lot of very serious concerns about what goes on during the year. Because we can all name people who are thoroughly, thoroughly wicked who will still be alive this year. It's going to happen. And there are people who are very, very great tzaddikim, who do tremendous things, who will also pass away this year. So what are we supposed to do with this Gemara that says that tzaddikim gemurim, they automatically go to the book of life, the year of life, and rishayim automatically go to a book of death? Certainly a very complicated and difficult Gemara. Comes Tosus there on the Gemara and says the same exact issue. Midaka chashiv beinonim, when it says beinonim, according to Tosos, mashmid tzadikim kari lamish zuchliyosav merubim urishayim gemurim. When we talk about tzadikim, says Tosos, what's the obvious understanding? We all imagine in our minds that there's a giant scale, right? And all of your mitzvahs are on one side, all of your mitzvahs on the other side, and if the scale moves down to the mitzvah, so then you're at tzadik because you have more good than bad, and everything works out. Says Tosos, Lamisha, what about Lamisha Avonoso Merubim Pamim? He says, it happens, Hat Tzadikim Nichtamin Lamisa. The tzadikim, they do get inscribed in the book of death. Urishayim Gurun L'chaim, and the terrible Rishayim, they do get put in the book of life. Says Tosos, I have two eyes, I have two ears, I see what goes on around me. Gemara, I'm not an ignorant person, I'm not foolish. I see the reality of the world, that there are tzaddikim who do not make it to the next year, and the Rishayim who do. So what am I supposed to do? Says Tosos, listen to this Tosos. V'chol zed dekari hacha gabe Rishayim misa v'gabe tzadikim chayim. We have all been misled our entire lives, says Tosos. It does not mean chayim, literally life, and does not mean misa, literally death. Kolomar l'chaye olam haba. And therefore, says Tosos, when we stand on Rosh Hashanah, we talk about the books of life open and the books of death open. Says Tosus, it's not talking about this world. It's talking about the world of Olam Haba, or not being Zocha to Olam Haba. And this is the approach of Tosus. However, the answer of Tosus is not entirely satisfying, because we're all aware that it's only when a person passes away and the neshama stands before the beis din, is he judged for his place in Olam Haba, right? If you have a person who's 20 years old, and they're going to live till 120, so what? I don't understand. I'm being judged for Olam Haba now, even though there's a chance I'm going to live for another 100 years? How does Tosus answer the question? It's not the case, it's not the reality that this year I'm going to go to Olam Haba if I'm a tzaddik, right? We understand the issue here in Tosus. It's not true. When Tosus says that this Rosh Hashanah you're going to be judged for the Olam Haba, what does that mean? I'm Mirsa Hashem, I'm going to live many, many more years. I'm not going to Olam Haba so fast. I'm right here. And that means maybe 1 year I'll be Olam Haba, maybe 1 year not Olam Haba, and it's like a game of Russian roulette, right? You spin the dice, and okay, and if 1 year I fall out of no Olam Haba, then oops, sorry, you know, it just didn't work out that way. Even though the previous 50 years were all Olam Haba years after Rosh Hashanah, just this year, I'm sorry, it just didn't work out. No Olam Haba for you. You weren't so great. It's a very confusing and difficult statement in Tosfos, because Tosfos doesn't solve the necessary issue. So I want to cite from a piece from Rav Chaim Friedlander. Rav Chaim Friedlander was the most prominent Talmud of Rav Dessler after Rav Dessler left England to become the Mashkiach in Panovich. And Rav Dessler only lived in Eretz Yisrael for a few years, but in that time, before Rav Dessler passed away at a younger age, he had a very close relationship with Rav Chaim Friedlander. And Rav Chaim Friedlander eventually became the Mashkiach of Panovich years after Rav Dessler passed away. And we have often heard his famous Sifsei Chaim quoted before, the different lectures and shmuzen that he gave in the yeshiva in Panovich. And Rav Chaim Friedlander, in the Sifsei Chaim, in the first volume on the Moadim, on page Kuf Gimel, so he discusses this idea. And he says, we made a second mistake. We thought we solved the problem with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah? No. And we thought we solved the problem with Tosfos? No. He says, we're all still making a mistake when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. He says, in fact, when it says Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim, and when it says Olam Haba, and it says not Olam Haba, it doesn't mean, obviously, this year Olam Haba, and this year a person will be in Gehenna. That's not what it means. It means that a person will be judged if one's spiritual essence, if they are living a life of Olam Haba. Will you be given opportunities of Ruchnius this year? You will be given opportunities to put yourself on a path towards Olam Haba? Or will you be given opportunities in the other way? When we stand on Rosh Hashanah and ask for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sifrei Chaim, and not Sifrei Mesim, what it means is Sifrei Chaim, a life of Olam Haba that will put me in a trajectory towards Olam Haba at the end of the day. Am I going to have a year of Ruchnius, a year of growth? Says Rav Chaim Friedlander, this is what we are davening for on Rosh Hashanah. There are many, many places in Chazal that we know that what happens? The Chazal will say, if you do A, B, and C, what will happen? You'll be a Ben Olam Haba. What's the most famous one? Ashrei, right? The Gemara in Brachos tells us someone who says Ashrei three times a day is a Ben Olam Haba. That's what the Gemara says. So there, if you know in davening, right, we say Ashrei in Pesukim Zimra, repeat Ashrei again at the end of davening, and then finally Ashrei in Mincha to fulfill the three times a day. What does that mean? A person who says Ashrei is a Ben Olam Haba. Does that mean if I say Ashrei, then I go right to Olam Haba and everything else is off the table? If I say a person, not me, obviously, but some this morning someone says Ashrei three times today, he drops dead, right to Olam Haba, right? You're a Ben Olam Haba. You go right in. There's no reason to wait. You go to the Kisei HaKavod, you have a seat next to the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov, and you're in Olam Haba. You said Ashrei three times. That's clearly not what the Gemara means. What it means is a person who lives and takes in the messages of what Ashrei is about. And that's another discussion for another time. What is the key message of Ashrei? But a person who lives the life that Ashrei describes, that person is living a trajectory towards Olam Haba. He's living a life that should get him towards Olam Haba in the end of the day. And therefore we say in Shema every single day, Laman yirbu yameichem v'yamei b'neichem al ha'adama. Right, that we should do the mitzvos that Hashem will give us a long life and life of our children, al adama, on the land, asher nishba Hashem lavaseich ma'aseis lahem, hopefully in Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem promised to give to our forefathers, ki yemei hashamayim al ha'aretz. It's a strange expression, right? It should be ki yemei hashamayim al ha'aretz. It should be like the days of the heavens on the earth. What does that mean? Says Rav Elopian, we should have days that are olam haba dika days. Our life should be a life towards Olam Haba. We should have Kimei HaShemayim Al HaAretz. We want Shemayim, we want Olam Haba, but we want to live a life of Olam Haba now in this world. Every single time we make a decision, is this something that's going to get me closer to Hashem, or is this something that's going to move me further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is the Sifrei Chaim of Rosh Hashanah, says Rabbi Friedlander. Your very essence is considered as destined for Olam Haba, even though we're still very much alive in this world. In this way, a person's judgment is related to Olam Haba. On Rosh Hashanah, our ruchnius is established for the coming world, for the coming year. On Rosh Hashanah, we stand before Hashem and say, Hashem, I can do better this year. I want to do better. I want to be sharper. I want to make sure I'm more in tune with tefillah. I want to make sure I'm more in tune with Torah. I want a year of ruchnius, of spirituality, and of growth. And that is what Rosh Hashanah is really about. That is what the tefillah is about on Rosh Hashanah. That we should ask Hashem for an opportunities of growth and spiritual connection. We'll get back to this idea later on, but just to make it clear, on Rosh Hashanah, when we are davening for health, and we're davening for parnasa and things like that, that really should only be ancillary to the main thing. Obviously, we want parnasa, and we want health, and we want all good things for our family. But those are only in the service of serving Hashem. Hashem is going to look at you and say, what do you need parnasa for? Are you going to use it for something good? Is it going to be something that's going to be beneficial to help you grow? What do you need health for? If I give you health, are you going to use that health to serve and do the proper things, to do chesed, the mitzvos, and Torah? So all those things are ancillary to the main focus of the day, which is a life of ruchnius in service of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. In fact, I think we can all say that the entire imagery of books is very strange. That there's books open in Shemayim, right? Hashem has a big table and there's a big ledgers there with everybody's name. It's a very strange and interesting imagery that we come back to again and again. So, apologize. So, the Sefer HaYetzirah, which is the book of Kabbalah attributed to Avraham Avinu. So, we're not going to learn that much Kabbalah right now, but the Sefer HaYetzirah, in the opening piece, writes the following thing. He says, Ubara es olamo b'shloshes svarim. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with three books, b'sefer, b'safar, u'b'sipur. Two books and a story. A sefer, and a sipur. Hashem created the world with two books and a story. What does that mean exactly? So the Gra, in his beginning of the Safed Tznusa, his Perush on the Sifrei Kabbalah, says that these books correspond to the three books open on Rosh Hashanah. The three things, the Sefer, the two books, and the Sipur, and the story, that corresponds to what is open on the three books of Rosh Hashanah. And this is an idea that is touched upon by Rav Moshe Shapiro in his Afikei Mayim on the Yom Norayim. So he says the idea of a Sefer means that there is a narrative to the world. The world has an accounting, a story. There's a certain way the world is going to play out this year. There's a storybook that we have the right to put in our story to. And we all want to be part of the story, right? Don't we all want to be part of the story of the universe? We want to be part of the narrative of the world continuing. And our existence affects that story of creation, says Rav Moshe Shapiro. And the narrative of the world will continue to unfold. But the question is, how are you going to be part of it? The world is continued to be written. But what character are you going to play in how the world writes itself? What part are you going to play? Is it going to be a role of Gashmias, a role focusing on things that are mundane and not that important? Or is it going to be a role that is part of the striving of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The story mentioned in the Sefer Yetzirah is the place of the Beinonim, right? The two books are open. There's the Sefer and the Sefer. The Sefer of the Tzaddikim and the Sefer of the Rishayim. What's the Sipur? The story is us in the middle. We're in the middle of telling a story right now. The narrative is on the end. It's like one of those choose-your-own-adventure books they used to have, right? And you always had different gory endings to how you'd end up at the end of the day. So you have these different approaches. We're writing our own narrative right now. And we're standing before a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah saying, Hashem, the story is being written. The play is in the moment, and I want to be part of it, but I want you to help me be part of that in the best possible way. Zochreinu l'chaim, kasveinu l'chaim. You should remember us in life and write us in life. Should have a different meaning for us. Chaim does not mean whether literally alive or not alive. That's not what kasveinu and zochreinu l'chaim means, says Tosfos, says the Gra. It's very clear. It means what kind of life are you going to have? Mi yichyeh. Who's going to live? But what kind of life is it going to be? Hashem, I want a life connected to chesed, to Torah, to mitzvos. Writes the Shlub in his Perush HaMesachas Avos, in Os Tzadi Zayin. The Shlach quotes an obvious question from Rav Meir ibn Gabai, this Tolas Yaakov, a 15th century Mekubal. Listen to what he says. It's a very sharp question if you think about it. The Gemara in Brachos writes in Lamed Dal Amar Aleph, Amar of Yehuda, La'olam, Al Yishal Adam Trachav, Lo B'Sholosh, Rishonos, Lo B'Sholosh Achronos. The Halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in Brachos. You are not allowed to ask for personal requests in the first three Brachos of Shana Esrei and the last three Brachos of Shana Esrei. Only the middle 13 brachos are you allowed to ask Hashem for anything you want, ranging from Slicha v'Kapara, Gashmias, Ruchnias, Mashiach, all different types of important things there. But that's only in the middle 13 brachos. This is what the Gemara says. Dama Rav Chanina, why? Rishonos Doma Le'evet Shemesader Shavach Lufnei Rabo. The first three are like a servant who is ordering his praise before his master, right? In the middle, when you open up, person goes in to have a meeting with someone, and you're talking about all the amazing things that they do, and you're such a gvir, and you lead the community, and you're an askan, and all wonderful things, right? So what happens? And then you turn the guy, and in the middle of your praising the guy, what do you say? You say, oh, by the way, just we're talking about you for a second, but just, I need something. Do you mind if you can give me something? So that's totally inappropriate. And at the end, when you're thanking the person, thank you so much for the meeting, you were so grateful with your time, so generous, I really had, it was such a pleasure talking with you. Just also, could I just have one thing before I go? No, says Hashem, that we praise Hashem first, and then at the end we thank Hashem, and then in the middle, that's where we make our request. This is what the Gemara says. Says the Tolas Yaakov as follows. However, on Rosh Hashanah, and during the Aseret Yetzirah, what do we say? Zorchenu l'chaim, v'kasvenu b'sefer l'chaim. We ask Hashem that He should inscribe us in the Book of Life. Where do we say that line? That's in the first three brachos. But didn't the Gemara and Brachos tell us we can't make personal requests, bakashos, during the first three Brachos? Where do we have the right, the gall, to go and ask Hashem to write us in the Book of Life on Rosh Hashanah all the way to Yom Kippur in the middle of the first three Brachos? That's not what they are for. Says the Shlach, that we are talking to Hashem about a life of Ruchnias, a life of Olam Haba. And therefore, what is it? It's Lamancha Elokim Chayim. Hashem, when I'm asking right now in the first three brachos that I should have a life of Chayim, it's not life or death. What I'm asking for is that I should have a life of Ruchnias, a life of spirituality to connect to you. Why? Lamancha Elokim Chayim. So I should do it for you, Hashem. It's part of my praise to you. It's for your sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I want to be great. I can be Mekadoshim Shemayim. I can have a relationship with you, and I can grow. And therefore, it says in the Shlach, it's perfect. There's no contradiction. The first three brachos are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Kasveinu L'Sefer Chaim is also about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's about our connecting to Hashem. It's not about that we should have health, and it's not about what type of car we should have or what type of house we should have. It is about the spirituality, having a geshmak connection and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it is supposed to be. Not another year to live, but another year to live with Hashem. That's what it means, Kasveinu B'Sefer HaChaim. But what does a book or a story dedicated to Olam Haba look like? What's so different about the coming year versus the previous year that I already had? A life of Olam Haba producing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough to follow the basic rules and not produce. The Gra, in explaining the Zohar, in his Perush on Mishlei in Perek Vav, so he says as follows, that before a person dies, three angels come forward to begin the process of deciding whether the person can enter Olam Haba. This is what happens. The Gra is talking Kabbalah, things that we can't understand so clearly. But he says, before a person is nifter, three malachim come, and they have a little based in deciding whether this person should go to Olam Haba or not. The first angel, says the Gra, calculates the mitzvos that a person did. He's sitting there, with a little pencil in his ear, has a little accountant's hat, and he's typing everything up, and he's tallying up all the mitzvos that a person did. The second angel, as we know, is probably calculating the averos, the things we did that were not so good. We were not so nice to our friends, and we said things we shouldn't have done. That's the second angel. The third malach comes, and the angel, this is the malach who taught us the Torah in our mother's womb, right? The Gemara Nida Daf Lama tells us that when we are in our mother's womb for the 9 to 10 months, the Malach learns Torah with us, called Torah Kula, and then he comes on the last day, and he slaps us in the mouth, and it's such a ringing punch that we forget all the Torah, and I have to start fresh all over again. Just as a side note, That is not why we have the philtrum underneath our nose. That is an urban legend. Everybody has that. Regardless of how you learn Torah, there's no source in Chazal anywhere telling you that the reason you have a notch above your lip is because the malach hits you there. But as a side point, that's a side point. So the question is, the third malach comes, and this is the malach who taught us Torah while we were in our mother's womb, and he comes forward to check and make sure that we produced and learned the Torah we had the potential to learn in our lifetime. This is what the Gra says. So the question is, the first two malachim make sense, right? We did averos, we did mitzvos. We have to understand where we're holding. They're there to make sure we did the right thing, that we didn't do the wrong thing. But why is the third malach so important before we enter Olam Haba? So the answer is that a life that's destined for Olam Haba and a life dedicated to Olam Haba is a life that produces and creates for Hashem. The third malach comes back and says, do you remember what we learned together all that time? So, did you produce? Did you do it? You said you were going to do all these things. You were going to accomplish all these things. You said you were going to start a gemach for people who needed this. You said you were going to do mitzvahs over here. You said you were going to be a tremendous a child and have kibbut av aim. You said you were going to do all these amazing things. Comes the third malach and says, mitzvahs averos, they're very nice, good. But did you produce? Did you do all the things that you were supposed to do? Did you reach your potential at the end of the day? Did you write your sipur, says the third malach? Did you write that story that you were all supposed to write at the end of the day? The mitzvahs and the averos are not the things that are keeping us from Olam Haba. It is our personal production. What are we doing as individuals to tell our story and to build the narrative of this world? Every company in the world sits with executives and they talk about, what are we going to do this year? How are we going to produce? There is no company at the end of the meeting that says, well, last year was fine, so this year will also be fine. We're not going to worry about doing anything extra. We're going to sit in our laurels. That company ends up bankrupt at the end of the year. We have to sit now and decide, what can we do better? What can we do more? What can we do higher? What can we do sharper in the service of Hashem? Don't let the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah be a waste of what is important. The pasuk in Tehillim says, listen to this pasuk. Ach, hevel b'nei adam kazav b'nei ish b'mavznaim la'alos hema mei hevel yachad. Right? The pasuk means that men are mere vanity. They're hevel b'nei adam. And kazav b'nei ish, the surety of man is a lie. Put on the scale together, they would be lighter than vanity. Meaning, people waste their time, and if you took all the vanities of all the waste of time of people in the world, what would you be left with? You'd still be left with nothing. It's all nothingness on top of nothingness. That's what the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim says. Comes the Ben Ishchai and gives a most gewaldig pshat in this Pasuk. Listen to what he says. The Ben Ishchai writes in his Chaim Bishalom as follows. That the what is Moznayim? Moznayim is the scales of Rosh Hashanah. It's the scales of Tishrei. Right? We know the astrological sign of Tishrei is the Moznayim, the scales weighing. And therefore he says, B'nei ish b'moznayim la'alos. The people are sitting on the Moznayim of Chodesh Tishrei, the scales of Tishrei, but Moznayim la'alos, in this month, in the month of Moznayim, in the month of the scales, our tefillos are going la'alos. Their tefillos are going up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what happens? People don't use those tefillos properly. We have a direct line to a Kadosh Baruch Hu right now. Slichos, aseres mei tshuva, we are closer, our tefillos are better, they are stronger. But what happens b'moznayim la'alos, in the month of Moznayim when our tefillos go up? Heima mehevel yachad. We waste the opportunity. We daven for silly things. We daven for wasteful things. We don't really concentrate on what's important. Says the Ben Ishchai, we need to be davening for ruchnius. We need to be davening for a relationship with Hashem. Not wasting it on, what are my grades going to be this year? And what college are we going to get into? Those things are somewhat important. But more important is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And having a strong relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. We can start the gemach for the person in need. We can volunteer the institution that needs a helping hand. We can give more tzedakah. We can be better in ruchnius than we were beforehand. And even though it can be awkward and out of our comfort zone this year, we can help people in need, put ourselves out there. We see a spouse, we see a friend who's having trouble. So put your ruchnius in there. Help the person out. Do more. Have more sensitive eyes. Sensitive eyes to people who are in need, to be able to help them out in different opportunities. We can write our Sifrei Chaim this year, right? The Sifrei Chaim are open, and we are the authors. We hold the pen, and we can write what is in those Sifrei Chaim. I want to be better about davening. I want to daven with a minion. If I'm not going to daven with a minion, I'm going to daven at least at home this year. I'm going to do something more. I'm going to do something better because it makes a difference in my ruchnius, and I want to become closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rushalom Shwadron, the famous Maggid of Yerushalayim, tells a very famous story that some of us may have already heard. He tells a story, it's brought down in the Shal of Yichiv Yagedcha in the second volume, the famous story of the Netziv. When the Netziv, writing his monumental work, the Ha'emek Shela, is a commentary on the Shiltos. The Shiltos, written by Rav Haigaon, was a very not used book about the mitzvos and the Torah corresponding to the Parsha. Rarely anybody learned the Shiltos of Rav Haigaon. So the Netziv says, I'm going to bring the Shiltos back, I'm going to make it in style, I'm going to write a commentary called the Ha'emek Shela, I'm going to discuss interesting halachic topics, and the Shiltos is going to be back in style. But let me tell you what happened. Nobody learns the Shiltos, and everybody learns the Netziv's commentary. So sometimes your plans don't work out. But at the Siyam, when the Netziv wrote the Ha'emek Shela, he invited his family and friends to the Seuda in honor of the event. And in the middle of the Seuda, one of the relatives asked him, why did you feel it was so necessary to make a party for this? People write Sfarim all the time. Why does this get a whole big Seuda and catering and hot trays and everything? Why was it so necessary to make a party for writing the Ha'emek Shela? So Netziv responded with a famous personal story. And he said that when he was 12 years old, he was not that into his learning. The Netziv, the Rosh Hashiva of Elazar, when he was 12, he was not that into his learning. He wasn't a bad kid. He was, I'm sure, all of his parent teacher conferences went like this. Mr. and Mrs. Netziv, Mr. and Mrs. Berlin, your son has great potential. If he only accesses potential, he's such a good student, right? So at this moment, the Netziv said when he was 12, things were not going the way they were right now. And after being sent from one malamed to the next, and the next rabbi to the next one, he couldn't crack his head open. And one day, the young Naftali overheard his parents making plans to take him out of school and to send him to learn a trade, to be an apprentice to earn a living. And when young Naftali heard those words, he came running into the room crying with tears down his face saying, give me one more chance. Give me one more opportunity. I can do it. I'll apply myself and I'll do my best to learn. And true to his word, he pushed himself. And he did become one of the most renowned Talmidei Chachamim of his generation. The Netziv turned to his relative, and he asked him the following question. He says, what would have happened if I didn't start crying, I didn't come into the room? What would have been with me? I would have been a fine balabas, right? I would have been Shomer Torah Mitzvos. I would have gotten to Shul on Shabbos. I would have done a Daf Yomi. I would have been a fine person. I wouldn't have done anything wrong. I wouldn't have been a Rasha. I wasn't going to steal from anyone. I would have lived a fine, normal life. I would have davened 3 times a day with a minyan, gone to Shirim, a little Mishnayos. It would have been just fine. But when I got to the Olam HaEmes, what would have happened? They would have pulled me in. And I guess in his days, they would have had a book. In our days, we would have had streaming on Netflix. And they would have opened up the story of his life. And they would have said, Naftali, let me tell you something. I have over here the Emek Shela. The Emek Shela, do you know what it is? I have no idea. It's on the Shiltos. What's the Shiltos? I don't know. You were supposed to write this book. You were supposed to write the Emek Shela and to bring back the Torah of Rav Haigaon and to light up the Torah world. But what happened? You didn't. You lived a fine life. But you had a lot more entailed. You had a lot more to accomplish. You had a lot more you could have done. But you didn't push yourself. You didn't look for Sifrei Chaim, a book of life, a book that was going to be opened with more ruchnius, higher, stronger, further, for the coming year. But now that I finished my Chidushei Torah, says in the Tziv, I'll be able to respond in Shemayim and say, I wrote the Shiltos. I worked really, really hard. I pushed myself to grow as far as I could, and I pushed myself even further than that. And therefore, I can go before the Beis HaShemala prepared with my Sefer HaChaim. And that's the question. Are we prepared to go before the Beis HaShemala this year in Rosh Hashanah with our Sifrei Chaim opened? With what we can accomplish, with what we can push ourselves towards, and how we can go greater and stronger. When I was growing up, I won't give a date of how long ago that was, because for the younger people, it'll make me feel older, and for the older people, they'll think I'm too young. So let's just say when I was growing up in the shul that I grew up in, so it was known that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when you got to Unisana Tokef, you could hear crying from the Ezra's Nashim. When I was a little boy, I can still hear people and the women sobbing by Unisana Tokef from the Ezra's Nashim. I can still hear it in my head. Things are different nowadays. I don't know if we have the same sensitivity as the generations have progressed, but that was something I remember hearing. in that light, Revolbi notes the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Ruchim Lavavitz. He brings this in the Dash Shlomo on Yom Merayim, and he says as follows. What do we say in the Nisan of Sokhev? Miyichyo, miyamos, who will live, who will die? Mi v'kitzo, mi v'lo kitzo, who in their time, not in their time? Mi v'mayim, mi v'esh, water, fire, cherev, v'chaya, sword, wild animals, v'rav, v'tzama, v'rash, v'magefa, in famine, b'chaniko, b'beskil, yanuach, miyanua, who will be restful, who will move around, mi shakedu, mi taref. And we all have been there. We all are thinking, by Unisana Tokef, we have images of people that we know who are suffering, people who might have had ends that make us think about the descriptions here in Unisana Tokef. And says Ruchan Lovitz, I understand people are crying, miyanuach, miyanua, mi shakedu, mi taref, when the chazan's singing. But I don't understand, why are people not crying by mi yichya? What kind of a life am I going to have this year? I'm going to have a life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me life, but what kind of a life is it going to be? What type of ruchnius is it going to be by mi yichya? What type of opportunities am I going to take advantage of to grow and become better and better and better? And therefore, to be as clear as possible at the end of the day, when we stand before Hashem Rosh Hashanah, it is not about the gashmias and the physical things for this year. Our reference and our frame of mind needs to be, Hashem, what's going to be in ruchnius this year? And everything else will flow from that. If we want a year, an olam haba dika year, we want kiyamei hashemayim al haaretz, we want to have olam haba and olam hazeh, we want to be bnei olam haba, so the reference needs to be, Hashem, I want a life of olam haba, I want a ruchnius life. Now, in order to get that, I need a parnasa that's going to take care of my family. I want a parnasa I can give tzedakah to people in need. I want to have health so I can serve Hashem and not be distracted by outside things. I want things to be good for my children so they can also be successful in ruchnius. I don't have to be distracted if they're sick and they're not doing well. Everything comes from the frame of reference through the prism of Sifrei Chaim, as Tosfos said, La'olam Haba. As Rabbi Friedlander said, a life of Olam Haba in this world, a life of ruchnius leading towards Olam Haba. And with that perspective, it should radically change what we say when we say Sifrei Chaim. It should change the focus of what we're looking for in Rosh Hashanah and guide us in that direction to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. May it be the will of Hashem that He inscribe us in the book of eternal life. And that this year should be one that we are proud to have recorded in the Sifrei Chaim, the story of the world. May we inspire ourselves and show Hashem that we can truly accomplish. And Shana Sova Masuka, Ba'al Tzul Chaim L'Shalom.